I grew up, my dad is a Vietnam vet, and so patriotism was a major part of our life back home. And I have a picture that I inherited when my grandmother died. It was her brother, and it's just a picture of him, but on the back is a letter that he wrote to his family back home. He died following General Patton across the Rhine River, retaking Berlin. And they received the letter two weeks after they received the notification of his passing. And so I have the letter and all, and it's an interesting bit of family history that I have connected with that. And I cherish, I've buried some World War II vets, and they were men. Yeah, they were men. And we come through a generation, my generation, I suppose, we came through expecting things given to us because those men ahead of us earned it. And we appreciate that. I don't have a memorial sermon, so I'm going to shift gears on you, if y'all can shift with me. I want to read in the book of St. Luke, the 5th chapter, this morning. Some years ago, it's been several years now, I don't remember the exact year that it was, but Brother Charles Barnett preached the day services at Broxton Camp Meeting. And I was a young man there, me and my wife, and he preached to the young preachers in the congregation. You probably remember, I'm assuming you do, he preached on Let Them Run. Let Them Run. And if you've ever, I don't know if he's got that somewhere on recording somewhere, but it's worth listening to. And he stirred something inside of me that I didn't even know existed. And it got to churning so strong. Eventually, in 2005, my wife and I left our teaching jobs and went full-time in the ministry for the Lord. We just wanted to run, Brother Barnett.
Yeah.
We just took off running. We didn't know anybody or anything. I think back now, I wonder how we even made it. We didn't know what we were doing. But I didn't know anyone, really, anywhere. We had been to camp meetings growing up. In Georgia, we always went to Savannah. We always went to Jersey's camp meeting. And we always went to the March meeting at Allentown. And outside of that, I didn't really know a whole lot of people. Brother Horton would come down and preach our camp meetings. And we knew Richlands, and we'd come up a few times up this way. But I didn't know what to do. I just quit my job. My principal said, well, so you're going to evangelize. Where are you going to be preaching at? I said, I don't know. I don't have anywhere to preach. I just got to go. And Brother David Horton, that's a powerful bench right there for my history. Brother David Horton was friends with my dad. Close enough friends that Dad called him and said, look, my son, he's doing something here, and he doesn't know anybody. And he said, send him up to Virginia. So we quit our job, did our post-planning, and packed everything we could pack in a GMC Envoy we had. And we drove up here to Virginia. And it was during this week, because we came every morning to this meeting. This was in 2005. We came every morning to this meeting, and every night we visited one of these churches somewhere around in these hills. And, oh, we had church.
Yeah.
Everywhere we went, we had church. I mean, it was just tremendous. And when the week was over, I think, brother, you let me preach that Friday morning here. And when the week was over, I thought, boy, this evangelizing's easy. It's fun. And nothing but fun times. We've learned a few things along the way, but this is it. If this had been a bad experience, I might not be here today. But the Lord put me in the right place with the right people, and I'm glad to be back here in this meeting. And it's exciting to be here today. Let's look in this book of St. Luke, the 5th chapter here. Go down with me to the 17th verse, and we'll read this familiar story. And pray the Lord would help us for a little while here this morning. Y'all going to get with me, right? So we have church here today. We start reading in that 17th verse. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins? And when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon the earth to forgive sins. And he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. I'd like to look at that last phrase in this passage of scripture here. They left this place. They had seen something that was strange to them. They had seen something that was different. They had seen something that was unusual. I looked up the definition of strange. I want to preach on strange things this morning, if the Lord had helped me a little while. I looked up the definition of strange, and it's something that is unusual or surprising. Something that is unfamiliar. Something that has never been seen before. It's different than anything we've ever seen before. It's not the same as what we would normally expect. These people came together here in this place. Well, I sure hope the Lord helps me this morning. These people came together in this place, and Jesus was there, and he was teaching, and he was giving them instruction. And the doctors and the Pharisees came in, and they were listening to what he had to say. And they were contradicting in their mind everything that he had to say, until something strange happened and they lost their contradiction. Until something odd happened, something that they weren't expecting, something they didn't think was going to happen. And all of a sudden, they no longer have anything to debate with him. They no longer have a leg to stand on. They see as this man is brought in. Now, it's unusual, it's strange, if you will, the whole way this man even gets to Christ. They come to him, and they cannot get him in the doorway. So they go up on the rooftop, and they tear off the roofing, and they lower this man down and place him in front of Christ so that Christ can do what he will in this man's life. I want you to notice there were some strange things that took place here. There were some strange things that happened here. Some things that these folks had not seen before. These folks did not understand altogether what was going on. I tell you, it ought not to be strange in the house of God when the presence of the Lord does mighty works at it. It ought not to be a strange thing to us. It ought not to be unusual. It ought not to be surprising. It ought not to be something we have never seen before when the power of God comes by and does a work among us. These men saw something that as they left, they glorified God because they recognized he had done something they had never witnessed before. But I want you to notice a few things about this story. This thing that was strange to these folks was folk men that came with a determined faith in God. They walked into that place. They came into that service. They came into that place of worship with a determined faith. I wish we could see the day now where folks would come to the house of God with a faith that is determined to do whatever it takes that they might receive what they need from the Lord. We're living in a time, and I know how it is because I'm experiencing the same
same feelings at times. I feel the same way sometimes. But we're living in a day where if the Lord don't do it right away, if we don't get it the first time we pray about it, if we don't get through the first trip to the altar, we sometimes put it on the back burner. We're so quick to say, this is something that I guess we'll have to live with the rest of our life. But these men were determined. They found obstacles in their way. They found opposition in their way. But they were determined to get this other man all the way to Christ. They were not going to let anything stop them. They didn't want anything to hinder them. But they were going to do whatever it takes. I tell you, when folks come to the house of God and you come in with a need, if you have a determined faith, you can press past everything that would hinder you until you get a hold of what you need from the Lord. I wish we'd get to the place where we had our minds made up before we even got to the house of God. It don't matter what it takes. It don't matter what I got to do. If you want me to run, Lord, I'm going to run. If you want me to shout, I'm going to shout. If you want me to testify, I'm going to testify. But I am determined to get to you. Whatever it takes. I'm not going to be sidelined by an opposition. Come on now. I'm not going to be pushed aside by an opposition, something that would try to hinder me. Don't you know the devil don't want any of us to get through to the Lord? Don't we realize that it's the enemy that tries to hinder us? I've seen folks that would sit in the house of the Lord and they'd tell me after church, I sure felt like doing this, but I just didn't do it. I sure felt like I ought to have done that, but I just didn't do it. You know how they left the house that day? The very same way they came, because they didn't have enough determination to press on through until they received what they needed from the Lord. Lady I pastored one time, it's tricky to talk about my pastoral experience because I only pastored one church, and it don't take long to figure out what group I'm talking about. A lady I pastored one time, Brother Jeffrey, she got up and testified in the service. And she said, I was in town today and I saw a man that I felt like God spoke to my heart and said, that man needs me. And I wanted so desperately to go to him. This is what she said. She said, I wanted to go tell him about the Lord. I wanted to witness to him. I wanted to invite him to church. She said, I didn't, but I'm so thankful that the Lord revealed all that to me. And I sat up there thinking, oh, I just wouldn't even got up and told it that way. I just wouldn't even got up and told it that way. I know God wants to do something, but I'm just not going to do it right now. Come on now. I hope I can preach to you today. I hope I can say something. These men came with something that made them more determined than they were discouraged. We come to the house of God sometime, we're more discouraged than we are determined. We're more easily sidelined than we are mainlined. We come in and we'll sit down and we know that the Lord wants to help us. And we know that God wants to do a work for us. But when a little bit of opposition comes up, you know what? If they didn't sing that verse again, if they'd have sung the verse one more time, then I'd have got up and done what I felt like God wanted me to do. But they didn't sing it again. If I get up and nobody moves, I'm going to look so foolish. It's going to look so strange. Listen, I wish we'd get back to the place where folks would say strange things are happening down at the house of the Lord. They are people that are moving out. There are folks that are responding. There are folks that are obeying the Lord. It looks strange to the outside, but it ought not be unusual in the house of God. You've heard it said in the Holiness Church that there's some story about somebody had to come find the preacher. And when they came in, they left, said, I couldn't tell which one was the preacher because everybody was doing something. Everybody was up, Brother Prescott. Everybody was moving. Everybody was doing something. You didn't know who was going to get up and testify next. You didn't know who was going to respond next. It's strange. Yes, it's strange now. I mean, you know, I'm not talking about being weirdos. You know what I mean? I'm not talking about being weirdos. Just sometime a thought will filter through your mind. It don't necessarily mean you got to get up and cluck like a chicken because some thought filtered through your mind. But I'm talking about obeying God today. I'm talking about doing something you ain't done in a while. I'm talking about doing something unusual. I'm talking about doing something strange in your experience. You say, I've never run. Well, I'll tell you what I'd do today. I'd be determined to run if God wants me to run so that I can get what I need from Him. These men came and they were determined. If the crowd's too big, I'm coming in from the top. If the crowd won't let me by, then I'm coming around another angle. I'm going to do whatever it takes that I might get to Him. They had never seen it like that before. They'd never seen it like that before. It was strange to them. And you look at this congregation that Jesus was teaching to at this particular story. And the Bible said there were Pharisees and doctors, studied men. Men that had education, experience. Now, I don't know altogether if it's medical doctors. I little think it was probably more on the educational side. But these men came and they were watching all the things that were going on. And they saw as this man came in from the ceiling, was lowered down, and they're thinking, what's going on here? What's happening now? What's going on? This is something strange to us. And these men lowered him down. And these Pharisees and doctors began to take notice of what was going on. Now, there's two things that they got to witness that they no doubt had not seen it happen quite like it did. One of the things was that this man had palsy and he was sick and he could not walk on his own. But when it was all over with, he picked up that bed that he had been laying on, whatever shape or form that bed was in. He picked that bed up and he threw it over his shoulder and he walked all the way home glorifying God. They had never seen it like that before. Oh, we've seen sick before. We've seen folks that needed touch before, but we hadn't seen them be healed quite like that. We hadn't seen them be touched quite like it's strange. It's unusual to see the healing. I know we're living in a day where folks like to go to the pulpit and say, we don't have it like we used to, and we don't see the signs and wonders like we used to. I confess that in my ministry, we don't see it as much as I used to when I was a small child, but I tell you, it does not mean that it ought to be unusual or strange to us for God to heal somebody that's in need. I believe today that the church ought to recenter its focus. Instead of every time we need help, we run to a doctor somewhere to get his professional opinion when he don't even really know everything he needs to know. We ought to run to the source of healing. I said we ought to run to the source of healing. I'm not against doctors or medicine. I put glasses on so I could see what I was reading. I'm not against that prescription, but I tell you this, when we would rather trust what the doctor said than to let the children of God pray for us and bring that healing by that we need. It ought not be unusual for somebody to get healed in the house of God. When I was a teenager, the church my dad was pastoring, there was a lady came in. She wasn't a regular attender. I didn't know who she was. She was a friend of somebody in the congregation. And this lady had had some type of sickness that had come over her body. And she was crippled. Had been for years. She came in a wheelchair. They put her on the back, at the very back. And in the course of the service, the spirit began to move. And Daddy just said, "Does anybody need prayer?" We did that sometimes. Y'all do that around here? If you need prayer, let's just come on up and let the church pray. And this lady said, "I need prayer." And then my teenage mind, I thought, now let's see what we do with this. Now, church, let's see what we can do with this. And they rolled that lady up there, Brother Barnett, and we began to pray for her. And I was praying with one eye and looking at her with the other one to see what's going to happen. It was unusual, but she stood up out of that chair. And she was a little wobbly. She was a little shaky. But she managed to get to that first pew in that aisle. We only had one aisle in the center. And she began to make her way back to the doors at the back. I thought, well, she's leaving. But she forgot her wheelchair up front. She got all the way to the back doors and turned around. And by the time she got back to the front, you couldn't tell she had ever been sick. You couldn't tell she ever needed. She didn't pick it up and tote it. But she pushed that wheelchair out in front of her on the way out. I remember thinking in my mind, wow, this is something spectacular. This is something strange here. We hadn't seen that in a while. This is something strange. I want to preach to you this morning. It ought not be a strange thing among us. I said it ought not be a strange thing among us. You may not believe what I'm saying, but I feel like, you may not agree with me, but I feel like that one of the attacks of the enemy is sickness that has come in the church. It hinders folks from worship. It hinders folks from being able to get in. It hinders us from doing what we want to do for the Lord. And I don't think God is in favor of anything that hinders us from obeying Him. I don't feel like that God has decided that He's no longer going to heal in the house of the Lord. But I believe it ought not to be a strange thing that we see determined folks come in and receive their healing. Hallelujah. These men were determined. These doctors saw this healing. And these Pharisees saw a man delivered from his sin. They were looking at Christ. This bed comes down. You would think a lot of things would be said by Jesus himself. But he don't get surprised like we do. But if on some Sunday morning, all of a sudden these ceiling tiles begin to fall, Brother Webb, and you look up and you see people lowering a man down that can't walk on his own right down here in front of you, I'm not sure what you're going to say first, but you're probably going to be shocked. I don't know what words will come out of your mouth first. What's going on, or who are you, and all these other questions might pop in our minds. But you know what Jesus said? You know what the first thing he said? Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. He just went right down to the root of the issue, didn't he? He just sidestepped all of the other things going on. Hey, everybody around him was thinking, this is the strangest thing. It's the weirdest service I've ever been in. It's the strangest thing I've ever seen happen. And Jesus said, y'all marvel at all that's going on. But I tell you what I came here to do. I came here to save sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He saw this man and he said, it might be strange to you. It might not be the order you think it ought to go in, but I tell you the most important thing to him was that that man's sins be forgiven him. They didn't like it. They didn't understand it. They didn't see how it was going to happen. But God said, my goal is that I save those that are lost. It ought not be a strange thing in the house of the Lord that a sinner could get delivered out of his sin. I tell you, it is the most important thing. It is the most important thing that we could imagine that would happen in a church service. We're here at camp meeting this morning, but I tell you there'd be nothing that would be greater in this camp meeting day than the soul that was lost away from God would find his way to forgiveness of sin. Seems strange. An older preacher from back home came up to me, Brother David, one time, right after I started preaching. He said, I'm sorry, son, that you got called to preach in this generation. You'll never see the revivals that I once saw. Well, my goal was not to be him as a preacher. I mean, I got lots of respect for these great brothers here, but I can't be them. I couldn't be Brother Prescott if I tried. I can't preach like him. I'm not trying to have his revival. Huh? I'm not trying to have his revival. You know what he was saying? God is not able to save today like he once could. Now you talk about strange. That's a strange thought to me. He walked away from me. I'm standing there scratching my head thinking, what God is he serving? What God, his God died somewhere along the way and is no longer in the saving business. But I tell you, it ought not be strange for us to have revival break out where souls make their way down to the altar. I know we're living in that society. I know there's sin that's prevalent in this world. And I know people are thinking that a nationwide revival is out of the question. I understand that. Listen, you can have your own philosophy about that if you want. But I'm talking about this service right now. I'm talking about this moment right here. Don't tell me that it's strange that God wants to save somebody in the house today. Strange things going on in that service. It's a different service, but it ought not to be different. It ought to be the norm for us. It ought to be the usual. It ought to be what we expect from God. It ought to be what we expect. It ought to be what we expect. They walked away saying, we have seen strange things today. But my prayer this morning is, don't let it be strange to me. Don't let it be strange to me. Give us a church that's determined. Give us a faith that brings healing. Give us conviction that brings lost souls to the altar. And don't let it be unusual. You hear me? Don't let it be unusual. I know this is a great church. I know these are great men that's in here. And I know it's not unusual. I know it's not. And this is the thought give me this morning. I want to tell you, don't let it be unusual. Don't walk away from here thinking that God did something mighty. What a strange service we had. What an odd thing. God did something amazing. God did something miraculous. What an odd service. No. Don't let it be unusual for us to experience a genuine move of God. Amen. Don't let it be strange.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Somebody stand and praise the Lord.